Good evening, and welcome to our evening service. And why not just turn around and shake hands with the person sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you, and welcome into the Lord's house this evening. And if you're a visitor, you're very welcome. If you're watching online, we're glad you tuned in. And if you're watching this later on DVD, we trust that you'll be richly blessed. Now, our speaker again this evening is David Good. We had him this morning. We were blessed by him, and we are glad to have him back again this evening. And just after our evening service here, we will wait around the Lord's table for communion. It's open to all who know and love the Lord, whether you're someone who attends the church regularly, whether you're here for the first time. If you know and love the Lord, you're very welcome to wait around the Lord's table with us. Now, Tuesday we have our prayer meeting at 7:30. Again, come along and pray. In case you hadn't realized, we do have a vacancy, and we are praying that the Lord will guide us into calling the right man to our church. And also there are many things we can be praying for, so do come along 7:30 on Tuesday. Then next Sunday, our services are at the same times of 11 in the morning and 6 in the evening, and our speaker at both of those services next week is the Reverend Frank Bennett. Just one other thing, and that is that on behalf of the church, I would like to offer our congratulations to Jim and Sally Lindsay, who have completed 60 years of wedding. It's their 60th wedding anniversary, so congratulations to the both of them. And Sally, you've stuck him this long. I'm sure you'll stick him a while longer. So these are all the announcements. They're all made, God willing. And I'm going to ask one of our deacons, Jeff, now to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. O God, our most gracious, heavenly and loving Father, we thank you that you have brought us back again this evening to our gospel meeting. And we pray that as we sing your praises and listen to your word, that we may all be blessed and receive a blessing. We thank you for the message that our brother brought this morning. And we would just pray that as David comes again tonight, we look forward to hearing the message that you have laid upon his heart. And that even this evening, that someone, even in this meeting, would come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. And Father God, again, we would just bring the sick of the fellowship before you. There are many who need a touch, and we would lift them up collectively before you, that your will would be done in each of their lives. And again, Father, we just think especially of Albert Pollock. Lovely to see Albert out tonight, the first time since February. And we just ask that you would continue to be with him, that you would bless him and look after his medical condition. And Father God, we thank you for all the activities of the church again, and we just ask that you would bless each one that's involved. And again, Father, we would think of those who recently have lost loved ones. We would remember our brother Tommy Stewart on the death of his sister, on the Khaki family. Their Thanksgiving service was held last Monday. We just pray that you would bless the family circle. And for Arthur Parks on the death of his sister Sally, we just pray that you would be with him and the family circle, and just be with them all in the days, weeks and months that lie ahead, and wrap your loving, comforting and protecting arms around us. And now, Father God, we would just thank you for once again for the praise team. We thank you for the musicians and for those who lead the praise. And we would just ask now that you would bless Amanda and Dave as they come and lead us in worship. All these things we just ask in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
Good evening. It's lovely to see you all out. I just wanted to start by reading a few words from God's Word. It's from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. We're going to start off by standing to sing Opening the Eyes of My Heart. We'll just keep standing for them all, just so you know. If you're not able to stand, it's okay, you can sit down. We'll not hold it against you. But if you want to stand, we'll sing Opening the Eyes of My Heart.
for being here tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless her. Chapter 12 is where we are going to read from. Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, in the 10th day of this month, and if the household be too little for the lamb, shall make your count, for shall keep it up until the 14th day, and strike it on the two side posts, and unleavened bread, and with bitter, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, of Egypt this night, and will smite all the I am the Lord, and the blood pass over you, and the plague shall not to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall be unto thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, of the children of Israel, at the head and worshipped, that at midnight the Lord smote all that was in the dungeon, and there was a great cry in Egypt. Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go of truth. I want to deal with this. The first thing I want us to observe tonight is life in Egypt. And we'll say it's not like it used to be. And that's not said in an anticipative or in a good sense, because there's a spiritual apathy around. And of course, society has changed. Life in the United was. What was life like in Egypt? I just tried to sum it as. Vladimir Putin is a despot. Xi Jinping of Korea is a despot. And that's the case. There was a despot who ruled Egypt. He made life a misery for the children of Israel. Egypt from disaster at the time of the famine was preserved too. Suffering under this despot. We're in the house of bondage. Lord Jesus said, whom the Son saved, were unsaved. In fact, the scripture says, siege under the elements. Never really intended to get that way. Brought up in a Christian home. I was 9, so I can't really clean Sunday school. How did life turn out like that? He said, well, I went out with mates, and I don't know how I'd have finished up. Of course, by drink. Don't know the one half of it. But what young lives. Know Christ as our Saviour. Then he is our Lord. In thee I find. We used to sing this chorus, if you want, he takes a sin out. Yes, Christ in you, Christ in me. Jerry was preaching in the Wellington Hall as a young Christian. I loved the Wellington. And I remember of following Christ, and he addressed you. But then, of course, he held up another one. And without a life that's uncleansed from all its sins and all its. I buried my cousin's husband. He was buried just at the end of last year. And he was a illness. And he'd never been ill in his life. He had a family of 4, one of whom, she was with him in Antrim Hospital, and she knew the end was near. And she phoned him, and she said, I'd like you to come and see my dad. And I'm only about 100 yards from the end. So there's no time for niceties. Of course I do. He said, do you believe that you, and on his deathbed, he trusted Christ. And died in a moment of time in their teens. We'll mention later, I believe that we are in the end times. The time of the Lord's return for his church is very, very near. Now is our, if we're Christians, we know the truth of the scripture that tells us, now is our salvation, or rather the consummation of our salvation, nearer than when we believed. Our Savior. We sang, and he was channel almost on UK soil. And from his wife, saved. They were actually in Glasgow doing with his wife, and they come down to meet him. Singers say those words, Father, my help, such a hymn that will be surely sung at our funeral. Life in Egypt, the despot who ruled, is described as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the. Secondly, was not just the despot who ruled him. Stressed, they came to Moses and cried unto Moses, it's impossible. And they were under great duress. Conversation with them, that they're under stress. We would say under. I had a couple of men doing the job for me on my roof the other day. He says, the Lord's coming back soon. Saved by grace. But here's a man who made no profession of salvation. And he said, looking at the scene around us, that the Lord's return is near. If you're a Christian, who are grander than the days go by. The despot who ruled and the duress that gripped them, the despair that engulfed them. Can't go on like this. We cannot go on. And they were filled with despair. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. But the worst thing of all, he was going to do. And Moses said, under the direction, Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of, and that was the doom that awaited them. My dear friends, child that is without Christ. Now I know that sometimes children die young and parents grieve of discretion. Because God's justice is one of his attributes. But I believe that there's a doom. It is that in the New Testament, during his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus spoke more often of hell than he did of heaven. But if a preacher mentions that, we have to warn people, because there is wrath, beware. God is working out all things after the counsel of his own will. He tested, he brought us 12 years. What a mentality there is. That's a man's control. And God can wipe those men out in a moment of time. And we need to realize that we do live in a dangerous world. The book of Daniel. And Daniel is in captivity. He's a young Hebrew whom God has greatly gifted, and he finds himself as prime minister in the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar, what he says to him. There is a God in heaven. We need to grasp it. Even Daniel said this to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar felt when Daniel told him what will happen. God knows the end. But one stands near to be our guide. He'll show the Old Testament terminology, a waste howling wilderness. Let's look at the Lord in Egypt. First of all, speaking to his own people, Israel. But he was speaking to him after about the fifth plague and said, in his evil way. His own advice of darkness came. The children of Israel, the light and life of God. Because the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me. Others, we don't say that out of conceit, but out of gratitude to a holy and go. Then he hedged it with caveats. Left behind the truth of Christian separation. Secondly, the purpose he returned. The purpose he returned into September, that we salvation. The Bible tells us God will. Christians who don't really believe that. Dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved, God wants to save you. He wants to put us the plan he devised. Now, we read that, and it's full of so much gospel teaching. They had to take a lamb. A lamb that was without blemish. The Lord, he said, do you think the Lord is going to be pleased with you? Had to be all things such as silver and gold. But with the prayer, and that lamb, of course, spoke of Christ. Because he would be killed. And his blood would be the blood of Christ. And with that blood applied, God had said, himself looks down in this congregation in Abbot's Cross Church tonight. Been to Jesus for the cleansing Christ. Who are still. That can change. In Luke 15, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. And the Lord, it's amazing the people you meet who are not saved, who are appalled at all the takeover of systems. Go onto their website. I don't have a computer, I can't do that. But trying to achieve. I believe. But then, let's have a look at this lamb, fruit of the ground, and Abel brought. Here in Exodus 12, it was a lamb for a house, if the house be too little for the lamb, and of a nation. When we come into the New Testament, here is John on the banks of Jordan, and the Lord Jesus is just emerging from 30 years in obscurity. His life was always lived under the scrutiny of God the Father. Hands have never done an evil deed. The feet have never taken a wrong step. The eyes have never looked in vision. I'm glad that my forehead's not sans without blemish. Only such an one could be our substitute and could be our time. He looks back to this chapter of the Old Testament, probably read it on a scroll in his day, nation of Israel from the house of bondage, and he's slain, and he combined ought which taketh away the sin of the world. And they're still preaching this message. They're still telling the story of Jesus and his love. I remember several years ago, it was in the 1960s, Ireland, and Bob and Alma there was a big rally as they were going back to the Congo. You know that Bob escaped with his life. His friend, the rebels, come in and shot all around him, and Bob McAllister and Hugh's friend. And he knew that Hector was dead. Wonderful believer. Our CE Easter weekend, and Ruby Gray went out to the Congo, songs of victory in one hand and her Bible in the other hand, and said, "I'm here, I'm here." Alma was telling some of these stories, and she said, "And they're all going mad and they're scratching themselves," and she said, "It's a scene of grief. Let me take you to another funeral." And this man, she drops a little flower onto the coffin, and she says, "Farewell, my husband." 3,000 packed into it. The capacity, I'm told, is only about 2,200. And Alma said this, "Who told her?" You see, my dear friends, there's hope to cheer the tomb when the deceased knows the Lord. Sacrificial lamb. I want you to notice something. When the lamb is first mentioned, it's a lamb. A lamb. The indefinite article. Then in verse 4, it's the lamb. In verse 5, it's your lamb. I used to wonder, no trust in Christ as their own and personal Savior, dwelling in your heart by faith. My wife was saved on a wedding anniversary last year and got our telegram, Uriel's dad pointed to the Lord to just come in to stay. Come into my heart. Open the door. I will come into him and sup with him. And throughout the preach, the devil was bombarding me with doubts, because I used to hear people say, I know that I have a memory for dates. Even my former church, they ring me up and said, "What date was such and such?" And invariably I can tell them, but I can't remember the date. I have a date on, but I know it happened. There's an old hymn that says, "I was there when it happened, and I ought to know." And I don't remember the day, but I remember the date. And I remember trying to analyze this in my mind. What did I do in that day when in that wee two up, two down house off the Shankill Road, I knelt down with my father and asked the Lord to come into my heart? I came to Jesus as I was, just a boy of 9 who had never done anything terribly bad, but who knew he was a sinner, because all have sinned, fileth, shall enter heaven. And neither you or I would be foolish enough to say we've only committed one sin. I think it was Luther wrote the words, "What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them well and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none." You see, my friends, it's a special lamb, a spotless lamb, sacrificial lamb, a substitutionary lamb. Can I ask you gently and lovingly tonight, "Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come." Lovely hymn that symbolizes that. "Out of my bondage, sorrow at night to thee." There's a lamb in Egypt. I want to tell you there's a lamb tonight in Abbots Cross Church. That lamb is the Lamb of God. By faith, the Lamb of God I see, expiring on the cross for me. He paid the mighty debt I owe. He died because he loved me so. Those simple words contain such a profound spiritual truth. The truth is this: because the Lamb died, we can live. I imagine that night. Dad will say, "Now, children, the Lamb has to die." "But Father, but Father." And he looks at the eldest, the firstborn, said, "Son, if the Lamb doesn't die, you will die." So there was no choice. And you know, my dear friends, if Christ had not died, there would be no salvation. People say that wicked men crucified him, but the real scriptural truth is this: he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Those who are saved know that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, something that finite mind can't really get its head round. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I want to tell you there's a lamb who died on Calvary that you might be saved. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. If you're not saved tonight, it's only a step to Jesus. Step of faith. Now we talked about life in Egypt and the Lord in Egypt and the Lamb in Egypt. And I finish with this. There was a lament in Egypt. My dear friends, one day there's going to be a great lament. When the Lord comes to take his church to be with himself and you're left behind, there'll be a lament. Now I know there's a lot of deep theology behind that, but it's a fact that God is going to come for his church. Paul makes it clear, 1 Corinthians 15, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You used to sing these old hymns. There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I want to meet you over there. When the circle being broken, the many homes will be broken in that day. Most of us have family who are going all well with the Lord and others who are not. And our greatest desire is that our family circles will be complete in Christ. I wonder tonight, will there be a lament in your heart? Here's what it said. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Death, despair. Because God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let me ask you gently tonight, have your sins been washed in the blood? Do you know what it is to be cleansed? I have a friend, he's now in the glory, but he was younger than me too, but he said, you know, in our church, we don't sing any of the hymns about the blood anymore. I said, then your church is finished. They don't sing. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's wonderful power in the blood. No wonder Peter described by the blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flew mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Apocalyptic vision. He saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And a book was opened, which is the book of life, wherein are written those whose names are written. There's a song about that. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. But he said, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. You know, I can imagine that day when people like these multiple murderers or these child murderers will. He'll stand before God. He'll not be the mighty man he thinks he is. He'll be as nothing. That would be a new thing even in our course, wouldn't it? He will judge the world in righteousness by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the proof that one day God will judge the world in righteousness. And you know, those who are not saved, when those books are opened, they can't order. People used to laugh about that. Books. And they were sceptical. It's easier to believe it now in the 21st century. Look at a mobile phone. I have a smartphone. There's only a problem. The phone is smarter than its owner. But the stuff you can get in smartphones is unbelievable. People nearly live their lives by their phone. They bank, they shop, they do everything on a little phone. Do you think the God of heaven is beyond, it's beyond his immeasurable capability to record every sin and to deal with it in judgment? Of course it's not. Even nature itself tells you it cannot be so. The lament in Egypt. This is the time. O then be wise. Why not be saved tonight? Thank you for your patience. We trust that what we've tried to share from God's word, if you're not saved, will bring you to a knowledge of Christ. And if you are, it may help you to rejoice in your salvation. We're going to sing our closing hymn, and it ties in with what we've been preaching about, when God of old the way of life would teach to all his own. This is one of those hymns that's based directly on a portion of Scripture.
Oh,
pray that you will write your word in every heart, and grant that even the words of this hymn we have been singing may underline in every heart that we must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. We shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross we miss. Open hearts to receive the Saviour. And our Father, we pray that as we separate and go to our homes, those who must leave us just now might know your blessing. And grant that as some of us would stay and remain to remember our Lord in his own appointed way, we will have that continuing, pervasive sense of your presence with us. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, folks, for waiting behind. It's for a very, very good reason. We want to remember the Lord and thank him once again for the price that he paid for our redemption. Can I just remind you, those who are members, to make sure that you fill in the little card which indicates to us your ongoing fellowship and determination to stand with us as those who are belonging to Albert's Cross Congregational Church. And speaking of membership, there are a couple of folk who have decided they'd like to join with us and to have fellowship with us, although they've been attending, of course, for quite some time now. We welcome Michelle and Margaret Haddon, and we are going to welcome them as new members. But before we do that, just want to remind all of us what membership is all about. You know that man is a gregarious creature. You didn't think about that, did you? He enjoys the company of others. But even from a spiritual point of view, we enjoy the company of those of us who belong to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And God has a purpose that his people should be together in local fellowships. And that's why we meet here, as do others across our land and across our world. And membership is a way of declaring your identity with Christian folk. A lady was once asked why she went to church, and she said, to show which side I'm on. And that's not a bad reason. But why this church? Well, becoming a member of the church here does not mean that this is the perfect church. Look around you. It does not mean that other churches aren't as good as us. It doesn't mean necessarily that you will not attend a service anywhere else at any other time. But membership does mean a commitment to the Lord and to this group of Christian people. And that's what membership is all about. And that's what Michelle and Margaret want to affirm today. And so, Michelle and Margaret, I am required to remind you of the importance of membership and also to remember all of us of what we've signed up for. So, Michelle, Margaret, would you like to stand? And Billy will stand with you. And I have a few questions to ask, and you will answer. I do, we do, at the appropriate point. First of all, let me remind you that the essential conditions of membership, according to our Constitution, are expression, confession of faith in Jesus Christ, evidence of new birth, and a determination to live daily as a believer, and also to willingly give up give the opportunity to belong to the fellowship and to uphold the honor of the church, and also to consecrate time and gifts and talents to the benefit of our fellowship. And so, Michelle, Margaret, I ask you before the Lord and before all these brothers and sisters in Christ, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Have you read our Constitution and do you agree with it?
Yes.
I'm reminding you, this is what they signed up to too. And Michelle and Margaret, do you promise as often as you can to be with your brothers and sisters here at Bible study, prayer meeting, business meeting, and the Lord's table? We welcome you into the fellowship, and on behalf of the fellowship, Billy will give you the right hand of fellowship. I will too whenever I eventually get back down to that level. But the Lord bless you. Shall we all stand together as we pray? Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for the Church of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for salvation and for the fact that new birth joins us together in the family of God. And Father, we thank you for Michelle, for Margaret. We ask your rich blessing upon them as they have joined with us in an official way today. We ask, Father, that you may help them to understand not only their own salvation, but their part in the body of Christ and the family of God. Will you make them a blessing to us? Make us a blessing to them. And together, Lord, may we see the glory of your name advanced through our fellowship. We bring our prayer in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as we come to remember the Lord this evening, we're going to sing together the two verses of Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean, Loving Kindness as a Flood. I'm going to ask you just to keep your seats, but sing these words thoughtfully as we join together. Here's love, vast as the ocean. Here is love, vast as the ocean,
loving kindness as the flood. When the rains of life are ransomed,
of Jesus, you will think of Isaiah 53, that passage of scripture that the Ethiopian was confronted with in the desert along with Philip, who explained it to him. But there's more gospel in Isaiah than just in chapter 53. And the verse that the Lord put on my heart to briefly mention this evening is Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. Here's what it says. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. We read of the one who is the initiator of salvation. He is the one who has done it. I, for my own sake, do this. We're reminded of the necessity for salvation. Our transgressions, our sins. That's why we needed to be cleansed and forgiven. That's why our Savior paid with his precious blood on the cross. And then we're reminded of the permanence of salvation. I'm blotting out your sins. I will not remember them anymore. It's a good thing to remind ourselves. There's nothing wrong with God's memory, but he has decided that he won't remember our sins against us. Remember the little boy who was very, very concerned. School open day was coming up, and he knew that people would be coming into his classroom and all the homework books would be there. And he remembered a homework that he had made a mess of, and he didn't want his mum and dad to see it and for him to be shamed. They came. He was concerned. When they got to that page in his notebook, it was torn out. blotted out, gone. God says, I am he that blots out your transgressions. It cost the life of our Savior for that to happen. It cost his precious blood, but he did it. He did it. Behold the Lamb of God, we're reminded, who takes away the sins of the world. So we're here once again to give thanks, and we do so with all of our hearts. The Apostle Paul wrote that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Like manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Brother David Walker is going to come and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread, a reminder of the body of the Savior pinned to that cross for you and for me. Shall we bow in prayer?
Our gracious and eternal Father, we just thank you that we can come here tonight, Lord. We thank you even as we have heard tonight from our brother, from the preachings, Lord. This was a foreshadow of the Lamb to come that would take away the sin of the world. We thank you, Lord, our God, that we can be here tonight because we have accepted this Lamb. But Lord, this came at a great price. We're here to give thanks for the body. This body was broken. It was marred more than any man ever. And Father, the full evilness of everyone was put upon him. We thank you that our transgressions are far forgotten. You never bring them back no more. So Father, we thank you for your Son, at what great cost it was to bring us back into reconciled and become children of God. We thank you for this emblem of the body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
For any who may be visiting with us, let me just remind you of how we handle the distribution of the bread and the wine. When the bread comes to you, we eat as we're served. When it comes to the little cup of wine, hold on to that until everyone has been served, and then we shall drink together. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Brother Jeff's going to come and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the wine, which is symbolic of the Saviour's precious blood shed on our behalf. Shall we pray?
Father God, we thank you a privilege to come and meet around your table. Father, to remember your death in your own appointed way. And Father God, we thank you for Calvary. We thank you that you sent your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down from his home in glory, down to this sin-cursed earth to take away my sin, to take away the sin of the world. He paid a debt he did not owe, for a debt that we owed but could never pay. Our sin was taken upon that body that was broken and that blood that was shed for the remission of sin. And Father God, as we partake of this wine which represents your body that was broken and that your blood was shed, we thank you once again for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. For it's in your name and for your mercy's sake we would ask these things. Amen.
A green hill far away outside a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not cannot tell what pain he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let's drink together with thanksgiving. Our Father, we want to thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity that you have given to us to gather together as a company of the people of God, undeserving but redeemed sinners. We thank you once again for our Savior, for the one who showed God's love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, Father, we pray that in this week, in the coming days, throughout the rest of our lives, we pray that we will unashamedly nail our colors to the mast for him. Unashamed of what he has done. Unashamed of the message of the gospel. Unashamed of the God who planned it all. So, Father, we give you our thanks for being with us this evening, both through the main service and through this brief time of sharing together in the memory of our Savior's death. And we pray, Lord, that you'll go before us into the coming days. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.